This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for American Crime Story, The Versace Story. And tonight we talk about the childhoods of Johnny Versace, Andrew Cunanan, and the making of a killer. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, Crime Story fans. We are back. My name is Saka Smith.
Hey, I am Grooving, and I am Ronnie.
Hey, After Buzzers, I'm Russell Ray.
Hey, After Buzzers, I am Juliette Vibas.
So good to see all of my lovely co-hosts. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm just whipping it.
Lovely.
Yeah, nice. What a great episode we have. We're going to do some facts versus fiction a little bit later with Juliette. We got Russell on the news for later. Yes. And I think you have some very interesting words to say about some other great programs we have on our AfterBuzz network.
Are we allowed to whip it during the show at any time?
At any time.
Okay, good.
Always allowed.
No names.
Okay, got it.
What a special episode, because we finally get to see the makings of the killer and the makings of the creator in this one. Nice to see more Versace, not as much as I would have liked, but still it was nice to see some of what made Johnny Johnny. What did you guys think overall about this episode?
I want to say that I really did like it, and I feel like so much conversation goes on out there about like how good this show is, or you know, what it's lacking or whatever. I did like this episode. I will say episode 2 has always been a favorite. I think you guys have heard me say that. I think this episode was also very strong for me. Of course, I think we always say we want more Gianni Versace. We saw some great stuff as a child, but I was pleasantly pleased with the dissection of the life that we got full scale from Andrew and his father.
Yeah. How about you?
This episode made me kind of angry.
Oh, really?
Just because of all the things that are brought to light in the episode itself, and with problems going on in today's world as they were going on just back then as well. So I'll address some of that later. But it's definitely interesting to see how his parents kind of shaped his life and what he came to be.
Right, I agree. I think it was a really, really strong episode. I enjoyed so much like the little tidbits we got of Gianni Versace. It just giving us the idea of how he became to become who he was. Mm-hmm. And Andrew, yeah, was really cool. Yet I do have to disclose, like, you know, he did live a really, really tough childhood. That was really, really tough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone goes through pain, right? And it's how you deal with it, and it's what you do with that pain. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want us to be too empathetic towards this serial killer.
Yeah, I mean, this was a great moment for us to have sympathy. Funny enough, so this episode, Matt Bomer directed this episode.
All right!
Yeah, from White Collar.
He is the most handsome actor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's even questionable.
I saw him yesterday.
No, you did. Really? Where? Was he at the Taco Shop?
Simon.
Did you ask him about the show?
He didn't stop by us.
Oh, no.
It wasn't his fault, so we're not going to throw that out there. Yeah. The carpet was coming to a close. He had to go. He had to get into the
As I always say in the Normal Heart, the play, but of course on HBO, he plays a really pivotal character. Matt Bomer plays a pivotal character in that series as well.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, the synchronization of Matt Bomer being on it, what is it? Not Crime Story. What's that show called? The good one,
Horror
American
Story.
Horror Story.
Hey, they're like, both excellent.
Yeah, the synchronization of it.
Yeah, but it was great because Ryan Murphy from that show decided to ask him to do this one. And he said one of the things was the challenge of having sympathy. How do you have people have sympathy for a serial killer?
Picture. Hold on. Just from the booth, I think we're looking at photos.
DJ
I'm not
Jeff.
I'm not lying to you guys when I say, like, this is not even questionable. Like, this is Ronnie's viewpoint. Like, Matt Bomer is the best-looking man in television.
And he's multi-talented, obviously, this directorial debut.
I disagree. I think we have a better-looking panel.
I hate the director we're talking about. I was like, oh, whoa. Okay.
That's very charming of you.
But we did really see at the outset that I love the beautiful moment that Johnny had with his mother.
Yes.
That was so important.
Extremely important.
Yes. I just think it's... Sometimes parents reflect their own of what they want their children to grow and prosper to be, because that's their definition of their child being successful,
right,
or growing and taking the family to another level in the generations. Yeah. And for the fact that she's seen a talent behind him and that he was very, that was going to be his niche and that she nurtured it and encouraged it was such a good thing, especially because the teacher knocked his confidence right off the bat and called him perv, which is like something very derogatory to call anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you never want to be called perv, let alone a child. That leaves a mark.
Right, yeah. Exactly. He's so young. That's such a strong, strong word. He's so young. And then I'm sure, you know, then growing up and finding out about his sexuality must be even tougher because you're put down like that at such a young age, and you know, your brain kind of connects things that you shouldn't be connecting, and I'm sure that must have scarred him.
There was a lot of really great complexities I felt in that beginning, specifically thinking about the mother and the restrictions of what she wanted to do in her career versus her father saying, no, you are doing women apparel type work, you know, that was an issue with her that struck me. And so that, of course, opened up her heart to give the loving aspect to her son. But then it was really cool to watch this opening sequence as far as, like, Gianni Versace was being loved in such a way, but in a discipline and hard work, and because I didn't have this, you are going to get this way. Versus we look at what's going on with Andrew Cunanan, and he's also being celebrated and also being loved, but it's not in a how do you work hard, it's in a how do you showcase this.
And I
liked seeing both of those beginning childhood moments.
Yeah, and I think you get the importance of having that support structure at home. So you can get the names outside, but if you go home to that super supportive, loving home, it makes things a little bit easier. I never got the sense that Andrew quite had that. It felt really unstable, even when they were the best of moments.
Right.
We get Andrew's father getting the job, but it seemed that celebration turned quickly.
Right, and you know what? It seemed very, very superficial, right? You have two young kids. The mom, Versace's mom, is giving him a skill, right? And she's nourishing a skill and a passion. Versus Andrew, it's all about lifestyle. He's just, his father's pursuing the fact that he's pushing him to be successful, and his definition of successful is fitting in. So yes, he's reading a lot of great books, but the intention behind it is not pure at all. Yeah. It's kind of malicious in a way.
Giving him a mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. Very smart. Yeah. A mindset versus a skill.
Yeah. And I think that entitlement is what I think ends up fracturing Andrew's mind, because he's entitled, but yet he's not getting the things he thought he should get because he is, quote unquote, special.
Right.
And one of the things I wanted to think about is, like, from the father moving them, you know, from their, you know, honest, humble beginning situation to the nice, big San Diego home. I wanted to know in my head, and I don't know what you guys thought also, how was it that Andrew did become his little star? Was it because the other ones were all a difference in age? That's one thing I noticed. And when you're a difference in age, you are a little more knowledgeable, so you can maybe talk back. So I'm wondering, was the reason that the dad was so pivotal towards, like, you know, uplifting him because he was able to manipulate him? I mean, was that part of it?
I'm thinking it comes back to the time where, because he did mention this in the episode, how the mom was in the hospital for a certain amount of time, and it was him that was taking care of Andrew, and it was him being the mother and the father. And what happened was Andrew's mom went into postpartum depression immediately after he was born.
So he may have just developed a closer connection because he kind of had to raise this one.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got the sense that maybe Andrew was sort of gifted intelligently. Like, he was just a naturally smart kid. And that, you know, he was the kid that they can give these etiquette books to and he could read and take it all in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going, okay, he's special. If I treat him special, then he'll be able to reach its full potential. But they didn't really give him the message of work. It has to be a part of that whole deal.
And that was also part of the narrative of the father to begin with. I mean, he was making a really, interesting conversation, and he says something along the lines of, you know, you have to kind of move and shift to your opportunity. But then outwardly he said, I am an opportunist. So, that was being left on the floor, even at a young, impressionable version of Andrew.
Right, yeah. And going back to the skill thing, when his Andrew's saying, well, you know what, I really love to read, like, I should write books. Versace's mom would have been like, okay, great, let's nourish that. The father's like, only if you get $1 million.
Yeah, and you saw that. He said, look, if someone offers you $1 million, of course, go ahead, write the book.
You're right. He's not even, like, supportive. He's just like, why not?
Write the book. And we even had that.
Write the book, but, like, as long as you're maneuvering and manipulating. Yeah, kind of.
And we had that one scene where, that same scene where he says, do you remember the time that you burned your foot and I kissed it and you didn't cry? As if to let him know that sometimes things aren't the way you want them to be, but you suck it up and you move on.
Was there more to that, though? I was wondering, like, what did that actually mean?
I thought that meant suck it up and move on. Like, you burned your foot, I kissed it, you didn't cry, that's what's supposed to happen.
No deception in there on the story?
I almost thought it was like an intimidating factor, as in like when I tell you to be quiet, you be quiet and you don't say anything.
I thought it was sexual abuse.
Wait, hold on. If you guys are in the chat, hopefully we'd love to get some of your takes on this, because we had a wide range.
He talks about how he kissed him, and the boy did. Okay, whatever. He kissed him passionately, like, you know, I forget the word he used, but he goes, I kissed you, and you weren't saying a word, weren't saying a word, and then he turns the light off, and he's so close to him.
Oh, no, no,
they're sharing a bed.
I think he was trying to say that, you know, I kissed your wound, and something really horrible happened that everyone cries about, but you didn't cry. Let's keep it that way.
It probably was still in the line of some type of abuse, because we do see him abuse his, you know, Modesto abused the father. So it was almost like this little, like, bell, like, okay, when you see wrongdoings, you're going to dismiss them.
Yeah, right. Or you're just, don't cry about you not getting to do what you want.
Right. I think, again, as a viewer, probably a huge stretch, but it's just that's what I kind of saw from seeing it.
Yeah.
It kind of explained the whole obsession over it.
But now that we got more Andrew, we got someone saying they didn't really care to see more Andrew, they want more Gianni.
Yeah.
Do you still feel the same way about this episode, even though we got to see a little bit more of the childhood and the way things shaped them?
I wanted to see that dress come to life, man.
Yeah, right. You want to see his first creation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that she pieced it back together after the teacher ripped it up, like, what a beautiful moment. If that really did happen, like, that's such a great thing for a parent to do to a child, to rebuild their confidence after someone else knocks you down. Like, you know you have that support system to keep driving forward versus going into school, because school is hard.
Yeah.
You know, not only are you dealing with bullies and you're dealing with kids who see that you're different from them and, you know, many different shapes and forms of life and, you know, ethnicities and everything, but then to have the teacher come down on you when a teacher is actually supposed to be a secondary mother.
I mean
culturally, were those just the expectations limited in that situation, maybe
for that time frame? Probably.
Yeah.
And to William's point, so the episode actually did have another scene with Johnny and his mother when Johnny's supposed to be older, but it was just too long of an episode. They had to cut that scene out.
Right. There was a lot going on.
I would have loved to see a little bit more of that. Because we got to see Andrew kind of grow up.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to see Johnny make that.
Yeah. And that disappoints me that people are not as excited about the show.
Yeah.
If there's not a lot of Versace, I don't know what really the answer is. Narratively, though, I thought this was another great episode. Like I said, best since episode 2. I don't know how you work it in with Versace more. I don't really know. We talked about maybe the funeral would be involved. We would have loved to see that. And just like the transcending high fashion world. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it could have been a piece that was more about Versace that then went to the end of his life. But then it wouldn't be quite American Crime Story. You'd be missing that element of it.
Yeah.
But we do have several elements we don't like to miss out on with our favorite Maria Menounos.
Oh, yes, yes. You guys all know, of course, AfterBuzz is created by Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, who has had a really incredible year. And through that incredible year, she's had a lot of like motivation and inspiration that comes along with it. So she's taken it to the podcast. Mm-hmm. This is from her SiriusXM show. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos. Some romantic music to let you know that, of course, this is all done sort of for free. This is what they decided to do. Obviously, Sirius has their program, and Maria and the team, probably Juliet, had some influence as well. They were like, hey, let's make sure all the great content airs on Friday. So every Friday, you could check it out online as well on iTunes. And last week's episode was with John Taffer. John Taffer, of course, from Bar Rescue. And it was a really interesting episode. It had to do with basically employers hiring somebody. You know, but what's really good is I took it as lessons on how to get hired.
Nice.
Yeah, so if you have your perfect job, which my perfect job just got launched the other day, so I'm actually actively trying to get it. So I used Maria Menounos's like conversations show to sort of like say, oh, am I doing that? Am I not doing that? And it was pretty helpful. Again, SiriusXM is where the show is, Conversations with Maria Menounos, and every Friday we will do a free podcast. So you can check that out. Awesome. iTunes.
And
yeah.
Wait, what's this job? What's this dream job that just got launched?
Oh, my dream job.
One
of the dream jobs, Michelle Collins is a very, very funny comedian, and she covers some really good like lines of pop culture. She was on The View for a second, too. She comes from Miami. She's about my same age. She got a brand new show. It arcs before Jenny McCarthy's show on SiriusXM, and they are looking for a producer. I've worked in radio since 2001 here in Los Angeles to begin with, and all these different things, and it just kind of matches with where I am. And the best part is it's in New York, so it'd give me a chance to get back to New York, which I've lived in L.A. for a little bit, but I want want to go back to New York.
But you're
going to
come back for season 3, though, right?
I'll always be with you guys.
Nice.
In the corazón.
Yes. Speaking of the corazón, you see the strong bond that Andrew does have with his father.
Yes.
But I thought what a pivotal scene when he has to confront his father. There were so many lines, so much juiciness in there about whether or not they want him because he was stealing enough money or not stealing, you know, about the American dream and what mm-hmm. it means to have that. How did you guys take that in?
And that was set up so good, too, because even when we go, let's go back a smidge, like the scene with the American flag and like what it is to become the American dream and Andrew looking into that in the silhouette. Did you have an effect on that?
It was crazy, because they just, like, they have the wind going through the flag and that intense music, and then it cuts to American Crime Story.
Yeah.
I thought there was just a beautiful little montage we had there.
About the American dream, but what is the American dream really?
Exactly. Yeah.
How did you guys think he sold himself with even getting the job to begin with at Merrill Lynch?
Going back to that, it kind of introduced that, okay, there's this perfect picture that's gonna come down, right? Because it's so intense and there's this idea of American dream, it's gonna crumble because we're cutting with this intense music and we're cutting to American Crime Story, so there's gonna be some crime involved.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good foreshadowing.
Yeah.
What did you think about that scene towards the end where he kind of confronts him about this American dream and the father tells him, well, the American dream really is this. You know, they think you can make nothing.
Oh, you want to go all the way to the ending part?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got angry with Modesto just for the fact that he's disrespectful and he's such a condescending individual to start with, and then to batter his wife, and then he teaches his son how to batter, which is something that isn't really talked about, but it does happen. Like, children do end up battering their parents.
Yeah.
And for him to confront his dad is very ballsy, especially in the Filipino culture, because a lot of it has to do with respect to your parents or your elderlies, just like in a lot of cultures. But I know that the Philippines are very set on that. You always respect your elders and you go by what's told of you and you do those kinds of things. So the fact that he went all the way down there and believed in his dad but then just called him on his lies was
the irony.
Yes. And I think it was a turning point for Andrew to finally realize, like, my whole world has been a lie and I need to figure this out now because I've been living this lie. And I think that was the point where he was going to decide, was he going to take a step back and be humble, or if he was going to push forward and continue, as we know, like he did, and still lived up to all the lies that his family had played out.
He was certainly confused, and we saw different sides of it. Mm-hmm. But I think, and just I just thought this in the second, like, because he was such a reader, you know, and he always educated himself, and because he grew up with a father that was the opportunist and the maneuverer, I think his education allowed him to, like, rationalize what moves he was going to make. So I felt like 50% of him, I honestly feel 50% of him got affected and shaken in the real true Hugh emotion, and then 50% of him was like, how do I calculate the next move? Which was very similar to how he was even when he was dating David. That was the one time that he had like 50% of non, you know, just hooking up with guys to make money or to move along his goals. It was also 50% that he actually liked David. I don't know. To me, I'm just saying that because I had the same reaction to both instances.
I didn't get quite sinister Andrew plotting yet. For me, I thought that the end scene where he's at the drugstore, because that's the first, at least that's the first lie, I think, that we see Andrew tell.
Yeah, I
think that's the first lie. He's like made a decision, okay, I'm going to lie about this because I'm not happy with the actual truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was such a powerful moment of, this is the Kunanin we're going to meet later on.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say plotting. Maybe I should say 50% analyzing.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like a lot of us, when we get hurt and we feel it and we later try to analyze.
Right.
He was very perceptive always on how things were. And I mean, that was from his father. I think his father's made a couple quotes. It was like, $97 a week is what I got for getting in the U.S. military. But that was so I could become, so I could come to America and then kind of
And wasn't that like a beautiful story? I thought that.
Yes, it was.
Because I'm thinking to myself, when I saw that he's in the interview, he's giving his whole bio, how do you now have a son that, you know, takes this life that you've had and turns it into what he did. Mm-hmm. But then you realize maybe the father may have been lying himself about that entire scenario. Yep.
Which he did. I mean, at the end of the episode, he admitted. He was like, I stole. So, you know, the fact that he goes into that job interview and is spitting out all those numbers, I have a hard time believing it.
Yeah. Now I don't believe he honestly got the $12,000 to make it to the $80,000 home.
And of course, because he laid out in his foundation of how he was going to do things, that perception meant everything. Yeah. Chilling scene to watch, but it definitely is how we do sort of in social media, not us at the table. But people, and what I mean by that is we show a certain story that's actually not true. He did not give a care that phone got hung up on him, but he was sure.
But to make it look like.
He was like, and I kind of got a chill only because it's going to sound like I'm all above, but I've actually lost opportunity because I actually try to be very authentic and like don't do the quote unquote perception to make it work. It just was weird.
Well, where's the line? Because I thought that was a brilliant move. I was like, okay, it's your first day at the job. The guy hung up on you. You don't want to look like, you know, and everyone's already saying you must be great because you beat out 500 applicants. But it's like, where is that slippery slope?
Because I think there's a discreet way to put the phone down and then keep it pushing. You know what I mean?
Because he outwardly lied to show, whereas he could have just like, if he put the phone down, no one was going to harass him necessarily.
I just would say I didn't disagree with that move, but it is a slippery slope. Because now, like, he obviously continues to go down this.
I would say, what maneuvers are you doing, Shaka? But you are in great shape, so you clearly do stick to your Shaka Strong brand. So he's legit, guys.
Yeah. Well, I always try to be authentic, but at the same time, you know, with Instagram, social media, I do the same thing. You put out pictures that's your best light. You're not going to see my worst day on the
thing. Oh, I know, that's right.
Yeah, and so in some ways, he's almost doing the same thing, but obviously he's outwardly lying, but... Where is that line? Like, it's so easy to cross.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about humanizing Andrew, and oddly enough, we got a humanized side of Modesto. Really, it was just from everything. You know, when he does argue with Andrew at the end of the episode, saying, you know, this is where I come from. So all those things that you guys have was because what lies I created. So that was really chilling. And I think there was a quote along the lines of like, they will tell you could come to America with nothing and make it, and that's a lie.
Exactly. Yes.
I think just as a parent, you will lie to your child to not crush their dreams. And that's one thing. But to lie to your child to make them believe that the world's at your fingertips if you can manipulate things to your advantage is another. And it really showed the characteristics of Kunanin's dad. And I personally see him as a pathetic individual, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
To be abusive, manipulative.
Integrity.
Exactly. To not have integrity and to just be so ugly as a human being.
But right. did he provide for his wife and his three kids for a long time and do the best he could?
But that's not a justification either.
He provided a house of lies.
Yeah.
And deceit.
But is there no redemption or not necessarily redemption, but is there no sort of like
for effort?
Yeah, almost. Cuz you think about someone that came from a different country, came here with nothing.
Yeah.
He's got We know two of their children. We don't really touch on them, but they were young at some point.
Two or three, raise. Yeah.
So, you know, he may have been a point where he was desperate, so he had to steal to, you know, do we say the circumstances kind of led to this? Or
true. And I want to go off that. I'm not even knowing if I'm agreeing or disagreeing, but what I will say is the father makes a good point. You know, he states that, listen, it was so complex. Like, literally, I felt like I was getting mine effed as well. Because it was just so good. It was so good. But because the dad told Andrew, he goes, you're being like your mother, which is already going to be a red flag because you don't want to be like your mother, the same woman that you had been tearing down this entire adolescence. So that, if I was Andrew, I'd go crazy. But in that same sentence, he goes, you're like your mother. You're weak. And you guys would have been okay with all of this if the money continued to come, which is like putting the mirror on you, saying like, oh, almost like saying you were in on the deception and you were okay with the deception as long as everyone was good with their livelihood. Oh God, that was just such a pivotal part of the episode. I don't know.
I think it gives you a crazy realization if you're Andrew that maybe it was true.
Or how many times in life, like, do we have to be better judges of a character because we just want to go with the flow of the shiny object,
even though you know you should do some more investigation, but you're like, I like it, what's happening,
which is hard though if it's a parent though. That's another layer on
Well, it's hard to break that reality, right? They are living in a nice house and there's some shady things going on, but it's hard to just kind of questioned that. And I think the mom was really, really scared of the husband, right? Yeah, we've seen some chilling scenes. Remember how he pretends he doesn't have the job? And then she, you know, believes him, and he gets so upset with her over that, right? So I think it's just in that household, especially for the mom, it's best not to ask questions.
Yeah, I don't want to say what's worse, the physical abuse or the mental abuse, but the mental abuse does take me to a certain portion of like one side of my family's, heritage, because they're very like that. You know, it's like every sentence does create a trigger that means something. So,
and sometimes the mental abuse can be worse. Because
I mean, we don't want to say worse because it's,
but worse in the sense that it's constant. It's more constant. You know, physical abuse is awful, but and normally physical abuse is coupled with mental abuse. But if you're talking about just straight up mental abuse, it can be just constant every day, and the person delivering it doesn't feel that there's any bar to doing so.
Right.
Yeah, she says, I mean,
the combination of both is terrible. Yeah, yeah. And I think what is to be said is that it really gets into your psyche.
Yeah.
Because if you have someone that is supposed to love you and take care of you and is constantly putting you down like that, you start to believe them.
Yeah.
And she starts to edit, I think, too.
Right. Of course. She does not, her exact, very, very smart. Yeah, she's not able to be herself.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was funny because like she was damned if she does, damned if she doesn't.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, I didn't get it. So your normal reaction, if he's been acting this way forever, is, oh my God, I got to console my husband. I have to go do that. And then the fact that he flips it on her, saying, oh, you didn't believe in me, but Andrew believed in me. Oh my God, just hard to watch.
And then it automatically pitted Andrew against his mom, and he said, well, Andrew believed me. And so like obviously Andrew doesn't want to say, hey, not me too, and mom is good with me.
Yeah.
But once he put her in the doghouse and Andrew, you know, on the pedestal,
which is also another disgusting thing. Separated both of them.
Yeah, huge manipulation.
Parents falling out or wherever and diminishing or tearing down someone's character.
So that the child has to make a choice.
Hard. Yeah.
Terrible.
I
think whenever you have parents who are just not a team, no good. You got to be a team.
Yeah.
And for me, my moment where I actually felt a lot of compassion for Andrew was actually when he was with the older guy in the car.
Before the party.
Yeah, so because you start to believe now that maybe it wasn't just about the money. He was just genuinely attracted to older men. And now here he's wanting some relationship and he gets rejected. How do you guys feel about that?
I thought it was funny because it showed it just showed how he, even at that young age, before a lot of things unravel, he's kind of disconnected, that he thinks that that's okay. It shows that he doesn't really care about what people think, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really, really strange. And I thought it was really cool that the way that he met Lizzie.
Yeah.
Because he was so attracted to her, the fact that she's an imposter. And I thought that showed a lot, right?
Yeah, and almost like attract like,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So what do you guys think about that?
I think it just spoke to his not fitting in. And again, if you don't fit in, you will either fade to the back or you revolt. You know, so it was a great scene to see him explode and be confident because, you know, his normal life as a, you know, if he was a straight boy at that age, you know, maybe he could just be him. But he was called upon to be that spectacle. And he was. And he was great at it. Almost as good of a scene as the one from episode 2 with the Phil Collins song. Nonetheless, what I thought about the older man, we in our heads, because we've seen so much Andrew and older men manipulation, I do think we always think it's a move. But I kind of believe what you say. Yeah. I kind of believe he was still young enough in his innocence that, yes, an older person represented so much love, but I didn't feel the manipulation yet. I felt like he liked him a little bit.
You tried to take him to a high school party.
Did you really not catch the manipulation?
Wait, how are you saying it?
Yeah. I caught the manipulation because he knew that this guy was married and he was like, we're going to go into this party because this is going to be us. And it's like, I caught that he was already trying to out people that haven't been completely outed yet because he's had this ambition behind him the whole time.
No, I just thought it was because
that's smart. I can see that. I think, you know what? It was more, though, for me at least, I think it was more about, it's all about me. It's all about Andrew. I want to go to this party and I want to have fun and I'm like, this guy, he's coming with me. He doesn't think about consequences. Mm-hmm. It's all about...
Well, yeah, I didn't think about consequences for
all about
for
being
sure.
the life of the party, and it's all about him being the special person that he thinks he is.
Yeah, but I do. I think that's why... I think he... any other high schooler would be like, who is this weird older guy he's bringing to this house party? But I think Andrew saw it as, I'm bringing this guy I like in this mm-hmm. Mercedes. He's got money. I'm right. going to be wearing this red outfit. You know, tonight's going to be great.
Which was hella extra.
It reminded me of that Eddie Murphy stand-up.
Oh, he's in that raw red suit. Raw or Delirious.
Oh,
one
my
of
God.
Them.
I saw that. I was like, okay, that's perfect.
Yeah.
But what struck me was, like, he's telling this older guy, you don't need to buy me these colognes. This is not why I'm with you. Like,
right.
He doesn't take the money at the end.
He doesn't take
Whereas,
the money.
Whereas, you know, Andrew, a few years later, would have been like, give me the money and I'm taking the car.
Yes, but this is also pre-father, you know, getting arrested, them yeah. losing everything. You know, he's living in a fantasy where he got a car at 11. He yeah. has a huge house. So
ridiculous.
He doesn't really need the money.
I'm still asking for a car.
Did you guys catch... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just thinking, it's about the presence.
Yeah.
The perfume, you know... It's class, it's elegance, it's, yeah. you know what I mean? So it's more about the status of it all. But
did you guys catch when Kunanen's mom said that she thinks that a younger man should always date an older woman because she can teach him how to be a man? Did you catch the fact that he maybe goes after older men because he would be brought up to be as successful as they are?
I couldn't credit that. With her, what I got was... that she is this abused woman who always wants to support the guys and the men in her life. Because, you know, with the father, nothing she says is right. So she always got to say, be the yes woman. And I think she wanted to be the yes woman for Andrew as well. Because you saw that moment of like, oh crap. But then she immediately turns and says, okay, I think an older woman would... But you could tell, for me, I didn't believe that she believed that, but she was saying it so it would make it okay.
I kind of caught it as maybe... He took it as maybe I should surround myself with people who I want to be like and be older than me because they know what they're doing and they've been through the ring of the fire. Maybe I kind of miss it a little bit and mm-hmm. be brought up, you know, maybe a little easier.
I think he was dating the older guy. I think he was just like, should I say it's an old guy versus an old woman? Mm. And I think he just wanted to see how she would take it. And then mm-hmm. she just went to the default.
It did feel like he had a little stubbornness behind him, though, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
May I mention another great Lizzie comment? He's talking about, it's great because, yeah, she's talking about how she's a fraud, so to speak. And he's like, well, I'm, you know, not involved in this as well. One thing I thought was so interesting, he's listing, like, who he feels like he should be or who he should aspire to be. It was, I don't know if I got all the names, but it was Herb Ritz, Keith Haring, Basquiat, Robert Mapplethorpe, all of these just fantastic, fabulous men who have done so much in the world of culture or whatever. And then I'm watching it and I said, oh, my God, they're all dead. The only other name he said was Versace.
They did it dead at the time?
I don't think they were dead at the time.
Yeah, they were. Keith Haring. Yeah.
I don't think Herb Ritz.
Keith Haring was 8 Mapplethorpe. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong. You know what? I was just looking for something. But if I'm right, it's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
But I think it's worth mentioning those men because they are all fantastic.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's funny because in that scene, that he's mentioning all these people, and I'm like, hey, Versace? Are you going to say Versace? And of course he did. So I thought that was really, really cool that a young Andrew was obsessed with him back then.
Yeah. Yes. And let's get some facts versus fiction.
Ooh, yay! So, fact versus fiction.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Great, great episode. So, let's start off with Versace's childhood. So,
interpretive dance?
I love it, yes.
Should I get up and... Yeah. Thank you to our lovely engineer in the booth. The timelines actually throughout the episodes are a little... Do you mind putting it down just a little bit, please?
I know. When the music kicked in, I was like, conversations with Maria!
The timelines are a little screwed. So the Gianni Versace as a child, he actually wanted to be a musician. You know, so it was really interesting, but his mom was always behind him and he was always sketching and it was kind of a passion of his. And she really, really nourished that and pushed that. Mm. The whole storyline with the teacher actually did happen as well. Mm. So again, like really must have stuck with him to the core. I thought that was really neat. Not neat, but kind of a cool fact that was still happening, that actually happened. The real quote is that the teacher told his mother he was some sort of sex maniac.
Wow.
So perf, sex maniac, I don't know what's good, but better,
both
not good.
Both of those are really sad teacher.
Yes. So not too great. So in the episode, we see the young Versace and his mother design a dress together. That, unfortunately, we have no records if that's true or not. But you know what? I really like that story, so I'm going to stick with it. Yeah. How about you guys? Let's say that really happened.
I dig it.
Our perception is reality.
So he didn't work by her side, but according, but apparently he actually only really started after he graduated high school. In this episode, again, he's really, really young.
Yeah.
So a little bit older.
Right.
And same goes for Andrew Cannon. We see him get a car at the age of 11. That's only for the storyline. He did get a very expensive sports car at the age of 16. So mm-hmm. he was legally able to drive it.
Wasn't quite as egregious, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I really like that that FX went with this and added the 11-year-old. It kind of, you know, gave that extra edge. It was really, I thought that was a really, really cool scene. It kind of really showed how the husband wasn't the father's not really all there. Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, his brother and his sister, in the episode you see his brother saying, oh, Prince Andrew, and there's kind of some resentment there. But in interviews, at least, that the real brother has made, he hasn't expressed any kind of anger. Yeah. So it's not really clear whether he was really jealous or not, but it is clear that it wasn't a great situation when you have a young kid who was, for real, living in the master bedroom when they were sharing bedrooms. That really happened.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine? That was a big room too, guys, right? Oh, so crazy. The boyfriend that we see, again, no real facts whether or not he dated an older man at the time, but someone who went to Andrew's high school said that one day he complimented him on an outfit and he responded saying, oh, thank you, my boyfriend got this for me. So it's kind of alluded. We don't have a real proof of it or not. And we kind of talked about this, and you guys thought that I was having a stretch. I'm sorry, give me a second to find my notes. Lots of facts and fiction.
No, these are really good notes.
Yeah.
We're like so fact, so fiction, and sometimes so confused.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that like dance the line, you know.
Right, I think.
Even the quote in his high school, I think the way they arced it on the... on the movie, they arced the last word as being destruction. I don't think it was destruction. It was more about like the waves we ride out or something.
Yeah, it means the flood. After me, the flood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I think of the thing it said destruction.
Right. So, the school picture... Right,
where he takes
the shirt off.
That had to be real, right?
Mm-hmm. So, it wasn't an official school picture, how they're waiting in line and it's for the official one. Yeah. However, that is actually a real picture. It was one that it was taking on like school property and it was in the yearbook. That quote that he gave, which is...
After me,
le déluge.
Merci, yes. Après moi, le déluge, which means after me, the flood.
Yeah.
In the show, they said after me the destruction, which I thought was really neat because even I'm French and like seeing him say that, I'm like, that's not the exact.
It's not the exact
translation. So I thought that was kind of cool that it showed that, you know what, Andrew's obsessed with all this, but does he really know what he's saying?
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was kind of interesting. So this is actually a real quote after King Louis XV of France.
And in that same photo, too, that was the actual senior superlative where he was most likely to be known. He had won something.
The father and the fraud. So there's different reports. Some reports saying that he pocketed over $100,000 in fraudulent business deals. And then other... and multiple reports kind of deny... The number isn't... There's no one came to a conclusion with the actual number. It's a big sum.
Yeah.
In the show, the actor is a bit younger than the father was at the time. So the whole scene of him chasing and jumping out the window seems a little unlikely just because he was of a certain age. Mm. However, he did move back to the Philippines. Yeah. And Andrew reportedly stayed with him for a whole month. So in the episode, it kind of seemed like he only stayed there for a short time.
Yeah.
Only a month.
It looked like he went there and he was like, excuse me.
And then, but bye, and gone.
He might have been waiting for the hidden millions under the chicharron.
Last one, which because we kind
phallic.
Of... we all kind of feel like we're in a different page, but I thought it was interesting that I saw... So, in this article I'm reading, they're saying that this episode makes a big unconfirmed insinuation that Kunan's father sexually abused him. So I'm not crazy, people. It was meant to kind of be in there.
Wow.
You know, he says not a sound and then turns the light off, which kind of alludes to implying molestation.
What?
See, I wasn't the only one who saw that.
It was something.
It was something. So believe it or not, there's rumors that Kunan may have actually been sexually abused, although these rumors are not confirmed. The rumors are stated that he was sexually abused by a priest and not his father.
Okay.
So something there, something maybe not there. We don't really know yet, but that was fact versus fiction.
Mm. Very nice. Thank you so much. back to that scene when they are with the father in Manila. Did anyone see that juxtaposition with the chicharron, the pigskins? I thought that was so interesting because he goes from wanting to give them a king's feast, to the pigskins.
Right, and he's kind of a pig himself, yeah. Right? Like, this is really shitty.
I thought they were so good at juxtaposing this episode. Yeah. Matt Bomer, I think, really wanted to highlight certain things, and it really showed.
Like his smile.
he didn't make a cameo, unfortunately.
In my movie.
In your movie.
We needed to have him hook up with Ricky Martin. That's what we
did. No, he's married. He's married to the publicist, and they have beautiful children. Matt Bomer is a... What I like about Matt Bomer is not just his good looks, not to go off topic, but he does very well for himself and great father and married and faithful. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Sorry. I don't want to go off topic,
but we don't have time.
I was reading some of the comments in the chat room.
Yeah. Thank you, M. Lucas. Thank you, Jimmy Pink, for joining us. We appreciate it. And then we also have some maybe news and updates from the show as well.
Some news and updates. One update. An update is, did you guys know Penelope Cruz is 43? She's going to be turning 44, and amazing. She rocked that leather outfit by Versace, or replica outfit by Versace.
Mm,
isn't that
bondage,
crazy?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what are these actresses eating nowadays?
Chanel is
aging beautifully.
Oh, yes.
Mariah's kind of struggling.
They're eating money. Have you seen her lately, though? Have you seen her lately?
Nope.
Looks great.
Because she should be hiding in the shadows. Oh, just kidding.
Oh, my God. Fat shame earlier.
Ricky Martin's single, just Fibre, just charted at number one on the 10th of this month.
What is it called?
Fibre.
Smart. Ooh. To release a single now.
You know what? These celebrities are doing it in their late 30s and early 40s. Like, they're just still killing the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think social media has a lot to do with it. I think it's keeping their voices alive with their fan bases.
Do you think it's keeping them relevant or just keeping them more in the spotlight?
Both.
Okay.
Can I say that I think it's also timing as well? I think one of the problems I see with a lot of entertainers, this is just my judgment only, is overdoing it. Because social media tells you always have to be on, they do that and they don't realize they're running our energy out. Yeah. Ricky will go away. And then when Ricky's back, he's like, boom, 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 the song you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And of course, his All In Vegas show is returning. Actually, tomorrow's the first show. That's going to go all the way till June 3rd with 12 shows. And that's at the Monte Carlo, Ticketmaster.com, Ricky Martin. If you want to go to that too. So it's like, it's a boom, all of it together.
I've heard his show is really good because I know this couple in Palm Springs and they went to go see him. They said it was amazing.
I thought you were going to say because the dancers are really hot, and they are really hot.
No, but I was going to say he does have dancers.
And he's been doing this since he's a child.
In intermission,
he better be good.
Extravagant show. Almost like a Circus LA type show in between an intermission period.
Fun fact. When Ricky Martin was coming up the first time around, I had a cousin that was the dancer on the tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not like super close, but he is a last name of mine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And more news: Versace, the brand itself, vowed to stop using fur. this after fashion houses like Gucci and Furless also has stopped using fur in their fashions. And Donatella was quoted saying, "I don't want to kill animals to make fashion. It doesn't feel right."
Oh.
So I think that's a positive.
And when was this?
This was a few days ago, actually.
Oh,
it was fairly recent.
I'm mad about it, but cool. Just
what
a
do you
few
mean
days.
Mad about it?
A few days ago.
Oh, that is fairly happening.
Yeah, I was like, wait, how long ago did this happen?
You know, for the fact that Gianni was such a he wanted to make moves and be the leader in things, and for them to actually make this as almost like the third fashion house to do so is kind of shocking, but you know, at least they're doing it.
Yeah.
And final news is that American Crime Story Season 3 is going to not focus on a celebrity crime. It's actually going to focus on Dr. Anna Powell, who was accused with three other nurses for euthanasia when the Katrina hurricane hit and the flooding, and they were... and the flooding happened, and the hospital was, quote-unquote, not going to have enough resources to keep these patients healthy. So they made a decision based off their own selves to go ahead and euthanize certain patients.
So excited for that.
If you guys want to find out more about that, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a little bit tidbit after, and I'll tell you guys where to find me on my Instagram story.
Nice guy. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
But I'm excited for that, mainly because it sounds like a boring story, but there must be something really interesting to the story.
I think it's going to pull on our heartstrings for sure.
Yeah. But it's got to keep us captivated for several.
Can I give you two like-minded notes also to go with that? Because this is a great show on LGBTQ stuff, just real quickly, Thursday's 9:30 on NBC, new show, after Will and Grace. It's called Champions. It's the story of a 15-year-old boy. He is half white, half Indian. He is openly gay. The gay aspect is not the story. He lives with his father for the first time, and he's living out his performance dreams. It's funny, and it's created by Mindy Kaling. And, of course, we should try to show up for big numbers for Love, Simon, hitting theaters. Of course, March 16th. Of course, we've seen all that promo. That was actually directed by Greg Berlanti, which I think is really cool because he's done everything. But Greg Berlanti also did a cult classic, which I thought a lot of people saw. I guess you missed it, and you got to see it. And it was out in 2000, Broken Hearts Club 2000. It's like Sex in the City, gay version, kind of. It's really cool, though.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyways, I thought that was important for the content we're looking at.
Very cool. And we are going to take it to predictions right now.
30-second predictions.
Let's do it quickly. We're running out of time, guys.
I predict that next week is going to be our last episode.
Nice. I'm predicting that we're going to see Kunanen actually abuse his mom and maybe lash out on his brothers and sisters. More.
I'm predicting we're going to see more great music and some type of fashion and Andrew getting mad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm predicting we're going to see a huge Versace show. I'm predicting some like notables like a Naomi and I mean, people that are playing them. So, yeah, I do think we're going to get our big Versace time now.
Right.
I think they didn't want to shoot it all in one episode because there wouldn't be too much places to go if we got it all up front. Right. So it's got to be now. It's got to be here. Ryan Murphy, come on.
You think so? We're going to get what we've all been waiting for?
Yeah.
Which is
Versace. It's got to be.
Especially if you do that.
I think the tension was if you do too much of it, maybe by episode 3, we're already kind of like hungover from it.
And tons of people were talking online how they like to watch it in bulk. So
With that being said, huge shout out to all our AfterBuzz fans. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for watching us.
All season.
Like, comment, subscribe. Come back. You know, the live chat is so cool and we love you guys, but it does go away. So after you see it, watch it on demand. It's good to see us twice. Exactly. Leave a comment there.
And we do read the comments when they do comment.
We do read the comments.
And,
positive or negative, we still read them.
And AfterBuzz has so many channels and so many different shows. We cover so much. So please go and check out other panels and check out other people on the Sweat Network.
Yeah, beautiful. Are you guys on anything? Actually, if you guys are anything right now, let's leave with that as we do our outro.
Got it.
So my name is Shaka Smith. As you guys know, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, Shaka Strong, and here on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock on Fit Club.
Randomly RJ on social media, Mozart in the Jungle on Amazon, best show ever. It's so inspirational.
I'm Russell Ray. You can find me at Russell Ray Silva across the whole entire internet. And
lovely. I'm Juliet. You can find me at Bonjour Juliet on Instagram. I'm covering the show Good Girls, and it's such a great panel. The best kind of bad.
Nice. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.